Welcome, welcome. I am so glad we get to be together. And if you're new, welcome. And I want to say a big shout out to all those who are watching online right now. We love we get to have you online with us. So just a great time to be together. We are coming to the end of a season in the church, and it's called the Boldly Blessed. And if you're brand new, what we do is we ask everybody during that season to give one extra dollar, more than you would normally give per person per week. Then we just take the attendance, trusting that everybody's done that, and we change somebody's life, or we change multiple people's lives. So that's come to an end. We'll come back in September with it. But before we entered this season, I already had prayed about it. I knew the one I wanted us to end with, because I love that some weeks we bless one family, which was awesome. A couple of weeks we bless more than one family. But now, Crossroads, we are going to bless thousands of families. And I mean literally thousands of families are going to be blessed. Now, how are we going to do that? The answer is this. Every year our church budgets to put on VBS in Kenya and in other parts of the world where children don't have the kind of lives we'd want them to have. So if you're not aware of this, we have a slum in Kenya we've adopted. We have a school there that we support. There are thousands of children in the school, and so they're going to get VBS, and they cannot believe it. Then we're also doing one in Cambodia this year, where we've been a part of rescuing children from a brick factory where they were enslaved there, and now they're free and get an education. They get a VBS. And then the same in Palestine, in an area of the world where there's the darkness of Islam is so pronounced, but they're going to get a Christian VBS. Yes. Now, what does Boldly Blessed have to do with that? One of the things we don't budget is for t-shirts, because that's thousands and thousands of t-shirts. Some years we've raised funds for that, but it's really hard to do. And plus, here's the thing I wanted. I wanted every single one of you to be a part of making that happen. That means your children are a part of making it happen. That means our junior hires are a part of making it happen. High school, our CM ministry, all of us together. And it's not just a shirt. Whenever you go there, you're going to find out, you know what it is to them? It's identity. It's identity. You know, Gene, you were there, right? Those kids love. When they get that shirt, that means they belong. That means there's a church that cares about them. And that is not a one-time thing. Here in our country, it's a t-shirt. There, it's identity, it's belonging, and it's value. And so we are going to give that to thousands and thousands of children and change their lives. And sometime around August, we'll show you video and pictures of what you and I have got to do. But that is, to me, something I am so excited we get to be a part of. And then in September, we'll bring that back. But tonight, we're digging into a message that I'm so excited to share with you. So let's pray as we get ready to go in. Father, I thank you that you love us and care about us the way you do. And I thank you for the relationship that, Lord, you're calling us to with you. For some, the journey's a little faster. For some, the journey's going to be a little longer, but maybe it's going to be even more meaningful somehow. But I pray we would not miss that you want us to go on that journey. And if someone here tonight is going to have a difficult time getting there, I pray they know this is a place of love, of care, of a willingness, Lord, to join them. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give you a heads up that this message I'm about to share may be difficult for a substantial number of you. And I don't want you to not know that I'm not sensitive to that and aware of it. If that's not a difficult message for you, I still think it'll be meaningful. But we live in a time where generation after generation in front of us has been called, get ready for this term, it's an actual term used, the fatherless generation. It includes people in Gen X, Gen Y, and Gen Z. They're called the fatherless generation because they're living with something called the father wound. A deep wound in their heart, life, and soul, because they've never experienced the kind of father that God designed them to experience. Some of you had fathers who were harsh and cruel. Many of you had fathers who abandoned you, and they not weren't really the dad they should have been. Even if your father was physically present, there's a high possibility they were emotionally absent or distant. And that creates the father wound. And we're watching the results of that in front of our eyes. By the way, this is something new. And something sadly new that people are facing. 90% of people with mental health issues are people with a father wound. 90%. 63% of teens who complete suicide. You know suicide rate's climbing, right? 63% of teens who complete suicide didn't have a father. The number one predictor of sexual promiscuity in boys and girls, but in particular in girls, is not having a father. And 71% of teenage girls who become pregnant did not have a father. It's consequences that God never wanted anyone to face. As a matter of fact, let me tell you this. This is one of the signs that we're living in the last days. Because one of the things that God is going to call to happen just before the very end of time is the return of the prophet Elijah. And when Elijah comes back, this may surprise you. Do you know what his main message is going to be? Fathers, love your children, and children, love your fathers. In Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, talking about that, it says this, "Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse." In other words, when there's a father wound, when the generation is left out, God says, you know what, that's a curse. Now, you can be freed from that. You can be healed from that. And I don't want you to miss that. But I just don't want to not talk about something that's so real right now in our day and time. But let me give a kind of a parentheses moment before we dive back in. If you are a father, if you are a dad of a child, no matter what age they are, I want you to take note about what you're about to hear. Take note of what I'm about to tell you. And even better, take notes. Write this down. And you know what? No matter where you're at with your kids, up the game. Up the game. Because fathers have great value. The research has been done, and the research, without a doubt, shows us the value of a father in a child's life. Do you know this? The father, even for a small infant, the father is the first person from the outside world who's chosen to love them. See, somehow a child knows the mother's supposed to. But there's something in a child and in a toddler and in an elementary school child that when a father chooses to love them, that's something big, that's something unique, that's something that has an incredibly great impact on that child. But by the way, when that's not there, it hurts. Deeply wounds. For boys, a child is the answer to the question, am I good enough? Do I have what it takes? For girls, the father answers the question of, am I lovely and am I valuable? By the way, back to boys. For boys, the father's the one who teaches them to be a man. And for girls, the father is the one who gives her the self-image not to be shaped by a world that can be so cruel. So if a father doesn't choose, it leaves a person with an identity crisis they need to overcome. They can overcome, but a lot of people have an identity crisis because they never had a father who chose them. And for many, there's a feeling inside, if my father didn't want me, then is there any reason for me to exist? Is there any reason for me to be me? And so many people are struggling with that question and not finding an answer that God, even if your father wasn't there for you, wants you to find. So what if there was someone who would choose you? You would be chosen by him. He wants you to know you're good enough, wants you to know you have value, wants you to know that he wants to be your father. And even more, he wants to be your papa or your dad. See, that's God. And I want you to meet God. God who wants to be your Abba, Father. The word Abba is an Aramaic word that Jesus used of God that actually means daddy or papa. And so Jesus wants you to know God as your Abba, Father. He came so you would know God as your Abba, Father. And by the way, God truly is a good, good Father. Whether you had a good father or not, he's a good, good Father. If you had a good father, he's a good, good father. In Matthew chapter 7, it says this. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Notice what Jesus goes on to say. He says in the next verse, or what man is there among you when his son asks for a loaf, will he give him a stone? In other words, give him something bad when he asks for something good. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? Will he? And notice what Jesus ends this with. He says this, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is, do you see this word? Good. What is good to those who ask him? Why? Because he wants to be your Abba. He wants to be your Papa. He wants to give you good things. That's who he is. I was listening to two researchers in an interview, and they were asked this question. What do you think are the pain points for the vast majority of people in the United States, but particularly this next generation coming up? And without missing a beat, they said right away, there's three pain points that this next generation and most people are struggling with. And the three pain points are, do I know my identity? Do I have belonging? Do I have belonging? Do I belong to anyone in a meaningful way? And do I have purpose? Does my life have meaning? Do I have identity? Do I know who I am? Do I belong? Or do I feel lonely? Do I have purpose? Is my life not worth anything? And so those are the three pain points, by the way, all of which are answered when God becomes, when God is your Abba Father. And there's only one way to have all three of those answered. That's with him as your Abba Father. And people who don't know God that way, what happens? They're looking in all the wrong places, so they feel lost. They're delving into the wrong things, so they feel empty. And they're seeking after love and not finding it, so they feel lonely. And God created you for so much more. Jesus wants you to have that. And so only in a relationship with God as your dad, God as your Abba, God as your Papa, will you find those three questions answered in a way that's actually incredible. So let's talk about that. The question of identity, number one, we're going to look at identity right now. When you know God as your Father, it creates an incredible, incredible ability to know who you are because you're loved by him and that's who you are. We just sang that and it's true. I've told this before, but when I went to Hope University, my friends and I, man, we're going to be young pastors, and we're going to know the Bible better than anybody, and we're going to know the deep truths of theology, and we're going to know the Hebrew and the Greek. And so we get there wanting to be all these deep, deep theological people, and they assign us each to a small group. Well, my friends and I are in a small group led by, okay, get ready, this is going to sound bad. I'm self-reporting how wrong I am. Well, get ready. I walk in and there's a girl leading the group. And I'm like, uh-oh, this already didn't look good. I want to be a theologian. What's she doing here? She's small, petite. She's a junior. And so she goes, guys, come on in. I get to be your small group leader. And I'm like, okay. And my friends and I, honestly, we were all jerks, all right? So we sit down and she goes, let me open in prayer. And she says, Daddy. And I'm like, whoa. And I opened my eyes because back then I thought you had to close your eyes to pray. She said, Daddy. And I'm like, what? And she starts talking to God as her daddy. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a waste. I want to learn deep theology, right? So I go home and I tell Pam, oh, it's horrible. And she calls God daddy. And Pam goes, oh, that is so good. Because Chuck, I don't like who you're becoming. Maybe she can help you. By the way, let me tell you something she did. She was a life changer. She opened my eyes up to something I was drifting away from. The God who loved me like that. And I don't know how it started happening. The Bible actually says the problem sometimes is knowledge puffs up. But you know what? Too often what happens is we get to a place where we struggle having that relationship with God that way. So I'm going to ask you a question right now. And this isn't meant to make you feel guilty. Please, please don't go there. But let's talk about where you are in your journey with God. Is God right now to you, when you think of God, do you think of him as God? Or do you think of him as Father? And I'm talking about you're comfortable with this term. You're thinking, that's the kind of term I really love using when I spend time with God. Or is he your Abba? And I'm going to give an idea of other words that could go this very wonderful word. Is he your dad? Which would be the same idea. Or is it your Papa? And when you think of God, which way do you think of him? Now, here's what I just found out today. Are you ready? I was just reading a book by two psychologists, Dr. Thomas and Dr. Sosin, and these two psychologists said something very interesting, that when we do not have a quality relationship with God, with a father figure at a young age, it neurologically shapes us in a negative way. It impacts your brain in a bad way. And so they said, the research has shown that it's very difficult to shift to the idea of a father figure after you've experienced that, because part of it's in your brain. Now, here's what they actually brought out. So when you become a Christian, you are a Christian. It's not that you're not a Christian. It's easier to have God as God, maybe as Father, but it's very difficult to get here because you've never known it. And it's actually, there's other environmental factors that shape that, but part of it's in your brain. Now, here's what gets really, okay, this gets exciting to me. I'm about to get really excited. If you're not, that's okay. God made your brain so it can change. Did you know that? It's called neuroplasticity. If you start practicing the spiritual disciplines correctly, like worship, like raising of hands, like meditating and prayer, spending time in intentional intimacy, your brain will change so you can move here. Now, it doesn't mean if you're over here, you're bad or you're less than. God loves you and you have value, but God wants you to go on a journey to get here. This is where God wants you. This is what God wants to have for you. And when you're in this relationship with God that way, do you know what you have? You experience the identity God wants you to have. And so you begin to experience God in a brand new way. And he takes you away from being even a hint or tinge of being religious into relationship. I've told you before, and I brag about him all the time, I have 5 grandchildren, but I have 1 grandson. And by the way, Liam loves the fact that he's my only grandson. That's a big deal to him. And if you saw Liam running up to me and you thought, oh, there he is with his grandson. And Liam ran up and said, Most Reverend Boer, pastor of thousands, you know, writer of journals, owner of a Jeep Rubicon lifted with a Casey Curry custom bumper, provider of sustenance to our family, can I spend time with you? I think you'd all go, that is weird. That is so weird. And not to be mean, but whenever you go up to God and say, Almighty, omnipotent, most holy, and God's going, oh, this is strange. This isn't what I want. Right? Because what does God want to hear? Do you know what God wants to hear? Abba, Father. He wants to hear Papa. And he wants it to be real. Again, if it's not easy to do, God loves you, but it's your right. John chapter 1, verse 12 says this, but as many as received him, Jesus, as if you commit your life to Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You're born of God. You experience God. You know God. And God gives you a right to be his child and for you to experience him as the Abba Father. The word right in the Greek, by the way, is a word that means right, privilege, authority, and power. There's a power that comes with you experiencing God that way. And God wants you to live that way. God wants you to experience that. So are you? Is this your experience of the one who loves you this much and wants it for you? See, are you living as one not born of man, but born of God? When you commit your life to Jesus, you're born again and you're born of God. And are you living in that life, or are you allowing too much of the old you to hang around? Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 says this, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a child to himself and set him before them. And he said, truly, truly, I say to you, now look at this, unless you are converted, look at this word converted, and become like children, no matter how old you are, you become God's child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. If you want to experience all the greatness of the kingdom of heaven, then you and I need to have a childlike faith. But that also means we need to be converted. We need to be converted. Now, I want you to think about that. What does it mean to be converted? It means to be changed completely. So let's say that right now you are like an electrical current that's 110 volts. But then we put a converter to you and it becomes 220 volts. See, now you're no longer 110, you're running on 220. You get where I'm going with that? But it can't happen without a converter. So when conversion happens, you are not running on the normal power you used to. You're running on Holy Spirit power. And you and I need to be living that way. Let me give you an example of that. Right now, our stage is a little bit dim. But if we converted the stage and brought up every bit of power we have, it doesn't look that different. But anyway, didn't quite work the way we thought, guys. Good try. I thought that, well, never mind. Okay, oh my, for all of you, oh, you guys look good. You know what, Tyler? They look really, this is a good-looking crowd. Okay, so anyway, but if you go through the conversion, it changes everything. It ups everything. And God doesn't want you living on old power, human power, fleshly power. He wants you converted. So you live on Holy Spirit power. But when you're converted, guess what? You have identity because you're God's child. So that's number one. You have identity. Number two, you have belonging. When you go through the conversion process, you belong. The Holy Spirit wants you to belong to God as your dad, to God as your papa, to God as your Abba Father. If you were to listen to the Holy Spirit speak to you, what would you hear? Galatians 4 verse 6 says this, and because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Now look at this word prompting. Prompting us to call out Abba Father. Now you are no longer slaves, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Now, catch that idea. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. By the way, if that's a foreign concept, get ready for this. When you open your heart to God, the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, speaks to you. But when you really hear him, do you know what he's saying? He's saying, say Abba. He's prompting you to say Abba. I know I've told this before too, but when my son Rich was born, my oldest son, I had a mission. Pam did not realize that we were in a competition and I was gonna win. The question is, would he say daddy or mama first? And I was convinced he was gonna say daddy first. So I actually would sit with him and say, dada, dada, dada. And one day he said it, one day he said dada. Does anybody remember what that was like when you first heard that? Anybody remember? I mean, I'm jumping up and down and he's realizing, if I say that word, I can make that guy do crazy things. And I'm telling Pam, I won. And she's like, I don't care. I said, I do. You know, it doesn't matter because he said dada. And that day was incredible. It was just literally incredible. And you know what? To this day, he's in his 30s now. When I get the text or get the phone call or get to see him and he says, Dad, man, I love it. I just love it. And God does too. There was a family that what happened is the man and the woman had been married previously and both had just really difficult marriages that ended in divorce with lots of pain. And the father had custody of his children. The wife had custody of her children. Through the pain of the divorce, they both ended up becoming Christians, going to the same church, meeting each other there, and falling in love. God redeemed. God gave them a better relationship than they'd ever had previously. They asked the kids, they said, you know, we're not going to get married if you're not for it. And all the children said, oh, we're for it. But as soon as they got married, the wife's high school daughter, she turned on them. She started acting out. She became someone who caused such disruption and pain in the family. It was incredible. Fights and horrible moments and the father trying to say, hey, look, what's going on? And she'd scream, you're not my dad. And he goes, okay, I know I'm not your dad, but I want to love you. I want to be there for you. No, and you know, I didn't choose this. And they're like, if they had known she was that against it, they wouldn't have got married, but it was too late. They went on a long time with her acting out like this, getting involved with the wrong people, all the kind of things. And then one day he got off work early and he opens the front door and she's sitting on the couch. She's crying. And he said, are you okay? And she said, why do boys have to be such jerks? And he thought, she asked me a question. That's pretty cool. So he walked over and he sat down next to her on the couch, not too close. And he began to say, you know, sometimes boys can be that way, but I want to tell you, I see it in you. You're an incredible girl. You hold your standards high. The right guy's going to come along. And he began to talk to her. And then she said, but it hurts so bad. And she got to tell him what her kind of boyfriend had done to her. And she starts to cry. And then he thought, do I do it? He got his arm like out like this, and he thought, if he puts it around her, will he get hit, bit? You know, who knows? And he touched her, and she fell onto him and starts crying. And he's like, yeah, it was cool, yeah. And so she's in that moment just pouring out her heart, tears coming out of her eyes, and she said thanks, and she runs out into her room. That night, she came down to dinner. That was almost never happened. And at dinner, she talked with the family without being mean. And so what happens when she left and all the kids left to go get ready for bed, the wife's like, what happened? And he said, well, here's, I don't know. I didn't, and he tried to tell her, and they were like, well, this is God. This is God helping. So answer our prayers. So now it's time for everybody to be in bed. Being the dad, he's turning off the lights. He knocks out the light at the end of the hallway and is walking down past this high school girl's room, but the door is open, and there's enough light for him to see her in there, and he said, hey, I hope you're okay. And she said, well, you know what? Thank you. Thank you for being there for me. And he said, well, I know you might not believe it, but I love you. And then she said this, thanks, Dad. And he gasped. He didn't want to let it out. He said he stepped back, he leaned against the wall, and he just couldn't hardly breathe. Thanks, Dad. God's waiting for all of us to say that. Some of you for the very first time, when you're laying in bed tonight, say, goodnight, Dad. You will bless him more than you know. You know why? Because he loves you that much. And that's who God is. So he gives us identity, he gives us belonging, and he gives us purpose. So when you come to know God as your dad, as your Abba, as your Papa, you get identity, belonging, and purpose, and God wants you to get purpose. And what happens? You begin to live differently. Why? Because now you have a purpose for living, a reason for living as God's child. And God wants you to know you have meaning and you have value and your life does matter. And he wants you to know that. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 12, it says this, so then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh. There is something that motivates and drives us, but it's not our human nature, our flesh, to live according to the flesh. Why? Because we have purpose. We have an obligation, a purpose that God has given to you and me, and God wants you to live in that. By the way, most people, do you know what most people's purpose is? The vast majority of people, if you're asked, what's your purpose? They go, I just want to be happy. Let me just tell you something. There's actually research on this. People who make it their goal to be happy tend not to be happy. Did you know that? It's not that God doesn't want you happy, but if that's your driving force, I'm going to do whatever it takes for me to be happy. Guess what? You probably won't be happy. But if you live a life that's altruistic, where you care about others and serve others, you tend to be happy. Did you know that? Yeah, so it's just interesting paradox that's out there. But if you live the purpose God has for you, you are going to be happy, overall happy anyway. And God wants you to experience that. And God wants you to live in that. And then Romans 8 verse 13 says this, for if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. All those living according to human nature and fleshly desires and instinct and just wanting pleasures like that are empty, it causes people to die. That's why so many people are so unhappy and their lives are not good, and or maybe they're feeling empty or lonely. It says, but if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So God said, I want you to know that. I want you to have that kind of experience with me where you live in that. There's a whole area of psychology called existential psychology. There's a David Yalom, I think it's Yalom. Dr. Yalom is the leader today, but Viktor Frankl was the one who really, really nailed it and has so many people thinking about it. Viktor Frankl said this, much of modern neurosis, discontent, and anxiety are attributed in our will to find meaning. And without meaning and purpose, we're in crisis. We're dying and not living. You know what that means? If you don't have meaning, guess what? You're dying, not living. And God goes, I don't want that to be true. I've given you purpose so you'll live. I'm giving you meaning because you're my child. And then in verse 15, it says this. It says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out. Look at that word. Abba, Father. So God says when you're led by the Holy Spirit, you say, Abba, Father. God says when you live the life he wants you to live in the power he wants to give you, it's the Abba, Father life. And God's great desire is that we would have that, and that gives us belonging. God wants you and I to have belonging. And look how this passage ends in verses 16 and 17. It says this, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so we also might be glorified with him, which means we have identity. We have all the things that deep down inside we want when we have God as our Abba Father, as our Papa. And God wants you to have that. God wants you to experience that. God wants that to be with you. And so God's calling out to me, Chuck, come be my son and let me be your Abba. He's calling out to you, come be my son or daughter. And you know what? God's got so much love that you're never not going to know love. No matter how many of us say yes. Matter of fact, it just gets better and better and better. The more you live in this, the greater the love, the greater the life, the more identity is confirmed, your belonging happens, you're not going to be lonely, and you're going to know your life has meaning, real meaning, real meaning. And so what I want to tell you is, for some of you, it's an easy trip to get here. For others, it's a more difficult journey, but it's going to be a meaningful one because God will lead you on it. And by the way, I, as your pastor in this church, cares about saying, hey, how can we help you grow to be in this place? And let that relationship be that real. God wants it for you. So I want to ask you, where are you at? Maybe you're over here now. You're not sure I even have a relationship with God. And you know what? God is saying, well, then come to me. Even if you come to him as God, it still means you believe and you know through Jesus you can get there. That Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You cannot come to God. You cannot come to the Father but through Jesus. But you know what? If you do, if you choose to say yes to what Jesus did for you, you'll enter a relationship with God that will grow in intimacy, grow in love, grow in meaning, and you'll get here. But even here is great. So where are you? Are you out here and maybe you've never said yes? Well, here's what I want you to know. To enter into a relationship with God, what do? There's two things, two first steps you take to begin a life with God, a journey with God, a walk with God. And the first one is pray a prayer and tell him, yes, I want you. I want it. I want your love. I want the life you have for me. I believe in Jesus. I believe when he died on the cross, it was for me and for my sin, so I could be forgiven and cleansed and healed and whole. So you could be free from hurt, free from pain, free from emptiness, free from anything now. Maybe you're out here and you're going, you don't know how bad I've been and what I've done. And God goes, I love you too much to let that stop a relationship. I had Jesus die on the cross so you'd be cleansed from all of that. So shame and guilt gets left here when you move here. And he wants you to move that way. He wants you to come in the relationship. Maybe at one time you were here and you've drifted back. We call that backsliding. And you know what? God never quits loving you. God always wants you. And so what I'm saying is, come back to me over here. And then maybe you are in the relationship and you need to take some steps to get here, and you never do it alone. The Holy Spirit is with you. God loves you, and God wants to move you that direction. But I want to say right now, if you're not in that relationship with God as Father, and eventually coming to that Abba Father, it starts with praying the prayer. And I'm going to lead that prayer in just a moment. And God loves you. God cares about you. God knows you by name. And if you're not close to him, he wants you to be. If something's happened that caused you to move away, he wants you back. Maybe it's your marriage. You need to grab hands, husband and wife, and say, it's time to put God at the center of our marriage so we can have God as our Abba Father, bringing our family to be the family it should be. But right now, I'm going to lead that prayer. And if you love God, I'm going to ask you to pray for people, to pray this prayer and say yes to God. Then, if you're either going to commit or recommit your life to Christ, to put your marriage in his hand, or ask for healing or freedom, All that's for you. If you pray those prayers, pray that prayer, I mean, I'm going to ask everyone to stand and sing. And after we pray the prayer, I'm going to ask you to make your way to the aisle, make your way to the stairs, walk down one of these aisles and let me greet you or our other staff greet you, and then head in this room we call the living room. And in there, we're going to share with you some next steps to take. We're going to give you a Bible. We're not going to keep you long. But I want to tell you, something happens when you pray that prayer, but it goes deeper. It's more incredible when you make that walk. When you step out and make that walk, it's like you're declaring without holding back, God is now my Father. God's my Abba, and I'm coming to Him. And God sees it that way, and God wants it that way for you. Let's pray. Father, I know you love us as an Abba, Father. As our papa, as our dad. It's a growing relationship that we get to have with you. And you love every minute of the growth, every minute of the process, every minute of our getting closer and closer. So for all of us who love you, may you help us, Lord, even be more aware of your love in ways that are beyond our understanding, but not beyond our comprehension, because you pour your love out in our heart. And Lord, I want to pray right now, Abba, Father, I want to pray right now for anybody who needs to say yes to you. I pray you would touch them. I pray they could sense your presence. I pray they would know that you want this for them. I pray something inside them makes them want this with you. And I pray they'll come to you. Right now, if you're ready to say yes to the one who loves you most, so he can be your Father, so he can be your Abba, Father, because of what Jesus did, then I want to ask you to pray a prayer with me and just whisper these words. Say, Lord Jesus, I know you love me, and I know you died on the cross for me, and you died for my sin. And you did this so I could be cleansed and forgiven, so I could be healed from hurt and pain, so I could be free from anything that would hold me down or hold me back. And you did this so I could be alive, so I could be new, but most of all, so I could be yours. And I could have God as my Abba, Father. So take me now, make me new, and make me yours. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen if you prayed that prayer.